The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Well, good afternoon and welcome again. As they say in the intro, this is Paul Orlowski and this is God Calling. Greg and Amy Wysinski joining us today, whose call initially was to marriage and then later ministry. Amy, welcome.
Thank you.
We're
glad
happy
to be
have
here.
You here on The Rock. And of course, Greg.
Wonderful to be back. I love being here for the pledge drive and just this opportunity to share a calling that so many people don't necessarily want to listen to, but we follow God's lead and go with it.
Is there a resistance?
At times. You know, we live of this world, and we should just live in the world. Sometimes we tend to push God aside because it doesn't fit with inside the box that the rest of society tells us to live in. But, you know, God always wins. So no matter how long you fight that call, eventually he's going to take you to where you need to go.
Exactly. Amy, tell me about where'd you grow up?
I grew up actually in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Greg and I met in college at Baldwin Wallace. It was Baldwin Wallace College at the time. It's now university. And we met actually in theater. I was musical theater, and he was a theater major. So we met.
Yeah, they actually asked me not to sing. So, you know, so she has that talent.
Well, but it helps in ministry, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
That sort of background. How about you, Greg?
So I grew up in Garfield Heights, Ohio. St. Peter and Paul Parish was my home parish growing up. Lifelong Clevelander. We moved after we got married to Brecksville for a short stint. Then we were in Bedford for 4 years, and then called Bainbridge home for 21 years. And now that we opened up our retreat center out in Southington, that's where we reside now.
You and Mike Tyson.
Yeah, the gates are still there. The crown is still out there, and it's a church now. It's,
yeah. Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's called the Living Word Church, and they have their 60 acres, and they've really done an amazing job with the property.
Yeah, I take it the zoo is gone.
Yes, it is. No tigers are left, although I thought it would be cool if they were still there. Yeah.
Tell me about your young years at St. Peter and Paul's. Did you go to school there?
Yeah, I did. So for the first 8 years, that was where I was kind of formed, not only in faith, but in just being a student. And, I grew up in an old Polish family, large gatherings. My grandmother actually lived across the street from the school, so I got to go home for lunch.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
And it was wonderful. You know, I wouldn't trade it. It was sad to see the school when it closed. And every once in a while, we still get back to the parish shortly after we got married and even before Amy was the cantor there. And even when we lived in Bainbridge, we still drove back there for the first couple years of our time just because, you know, your parish became home.
Yep.
There's a parish on the west side in Berea, and the name is I'm blanking on. But, same setup, same kind of the structure and the ambiance and just every aspect just reminds me of home.
What about high school?
High school, I went to Garfield Heights.
Okay.
So I was one of the three kids who didn't go on to Catholic school and went to public school and graduated from Garfield Heights High School. And then, as Amy said, attended Baldwin Wallace with a major in theater.
Any inklings toward ministry at that time?
None.
Okay.
I would love to tell you, like, the whole process into ministry was just God catching me out of left field. You know, I can look back, and I was joking with my friends the other day. We were talking about being student of the month, and I said, hey, I was student of the month when I was a senior in high school, and my quote was, treat others as you wish to be treated, but mm-hmm. I did not attribute the Bible for that quote. You know, I had no idea that that's where it came
you
from.
You lifted it, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So I would say that now that I look back, certainly a lot, and mm-hmm. many of those people that I was friends with or acquaintances with in high school now reach out to me on Facebook or other social media. And, you know, I guess there was a foundation being set.
Okay. Amy in Columbus, where'd you go to school?
I went to the Columbus Alternative High School. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting thing at the time. They had a series of alternative schools, elementary, middle, and high school. It was an alternative way of learning, if you will. So it wasn't the standard desks in a row and, mm-hmm. you know, you will do this and all that. It was really more abstract and artful, sort of encouraging the self-expression, if you will, of students and learning in the way that each student was an individual. And that each student could learn in their own way. And so my mom had enrolled me in this sort of course of learning. And so we didn't have sports at the Columbus Alternative High School. It was sort of arts related. And then you could go to your home school for sports if you wish to do that so that you could still have that complete experience. But one of my favorite things about the school was that on Wednesdays, we didn't have class. We would have internships. Oh. And so you could go into anywhere you wanted. You could create your own internship and you could work at a business and you could have a different one every semester. So by the time you left, you could have several internships or have started one to really just kind of help you figure out what you wanted to do with your life. Okay. So
what about your formation? Grew up Catholic?
Well, actually, I was not a Catholic.
Okay.
I was Lutheran growing up. When I was a kid, my mom is a musician, music educator. And so she was a single parent. So growing up, she would have church jobs. And so she would play the organ at many churches, conduct choirs and all of that. So for me, church was just about going to play the organ or sing in the choir or handbells. I loved handbells. So that was what church was to me. And my dad was very religious and was very interested in learning about a lot of different religions. And so I sort of had that in the background because I didn't live with him. But he was always planting seeds along the way. Mm-hmm. As I look back, I didn't realize what it was. It was just, you know, my dad and all his different religions. But
when did those seeds start to sprout?
They started to sprout. Gosh.
When she met this young Catholic boy in Garfield Heights, Ohio.
Just
well, I mean, I think those seeds were still being planted then. I don't think it really sprouted until we had our first child, honestly.
Yeah, it was a journey. She converted, mm-hmm. you know, prior to our marriage in 94.
Okay.
We're married, be 27 years in December, New Year's Eve, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
So she converted for me, but learned, you know, really took hold. We had a great pastor at St. Peter and Paul at the time, Father Anthony Zepp, who has since passed. He had a lot to do with the man that I am today and learning how to grow as a 20-year-old who got married, and certainly with Amy's formation into the Catholic Church.
Well, you've taken all of what we've talked about and now reaching out to others to have folks become the man or woman that they were God meant them to be, I suppose mm-hmm. is the way to put it. And we'll talk about that when we come back on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. Please stay with us. Back in a couple of minutes. Our guests on God Calling today are Greg and Amy Wasinski, and together they minister. Greg, on your business card, inspire, encourage, and restore.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot to chew on.
It is.
How do you go about that?
Well, the way that we look at it as a ministry, so we actually formed our ministry in 2009 in Let Me Be Ministries, the faith and real life ministry, really works to serve as an extension of the church. And the way that I use those three words is, number one, is that we want to inspire individuals to grow deeper in their faith and to know why they believe what they believe. Secondly, is to encourage communities and to encourage people to journey together, to certainly understand our responsibility that we have to take care of each other. And then lastly, to restore. And we strongly believe in the restoration of the value of family. I've traveled the country now for the last 10 years. I've been in 26 states, 110 different cities, and all the stories everywhere you go are the same. The desire, the need to bring young people back to church or loved ones back to the faith. So I think that, you know, as we talked about in the first segment, that our story of not having that call or answering that call into vocation young, that it's really developed in our adult years, and we've had to fight for it, and I even spent time away from the church so we can relate to the people that are struggling with that and really give them an opportunity to see that we don't have it all together and that we're just journeying towards what God is calling us to be and moving forward to help them grow in that relationship with God.
And some stuff I read about you guys described journeying, and I'll underscore this, with individuals. and organizations to restore clarity. But
yeah, we have to walk together. You know, the philosopher Ram Dass once said that, you know, we are all just walking each other home. And I think it's a beautiful image to think mm-hmm. that it's just our job to get each other to heaven.
Amy, how does the teamwork work?
Well, I think pretty well, actually. I think we complement each other in uh-huh. our gifts and what we can offer to people. Greg talks, I sing. He cooks, I bake. But I think we both have the same love of God and love of helping others love God or find God in their everyday life. So I think we have the same goal. We just go at it a little differently.
Yeah, and Amy still works at our home parish at Holy Angels Church, and she works in the stewardship department, you know, helping people with time and talent. So she gets to share her gifts in that way with our home parish, and then mm-hmm. tirelessly works to deal with everything I leave for her at the end of the day.
But music is so powerful in a religious setting.
Absolutely. It really is. It is what touched me, I think, more than anything, because music does really move people and it creates an experience for people, you know, that they don't really realize that those little bits and pieces, it's not a show, it's no. not entertainment, it's to add to the experience of meeting Christ where you are.
You guys have a family?
We do. We actually have three children, but one has fur. The other two are just normal humans. Nathan, who is 20, he'll be 22 in December. He's a senior at Baldwin Wallace, so he kind of followed in our footsteps as an acting major. And then we have Natalie, who is 19, and she is at the University of Toledo and is a sophomore studying medicine. So,
okay, wonderful.
Yeah, and then we have a large German Shepherd at home who is King. And,
he's literally.
He's my shadow. So, but nothing better than when you come home and the unconditional love of a dog waiting for you.
No doubt about it. A quote that I read that really jumped out at me was, and it kind of sums up, I think, what you're about, is our faith is more than mass.
Mm.
You got to take it out those doors when you leave. It's not race to the parking lot to get out first before the final blessing and all that. I always stay for the final blessing because I figure I need all I can get.
Yeah, right.
Given some of the stuff I've done in my life.
Especially just for the parking lot sometimes leaving. Well, you know, it is. And I think that that's what creates the bond for us, is to find Christ in the world, in the good and in the bad, to know that He wants as much of our ugly stuff as He does want all the victories where we give Him the glory, because He wants to heal us. And so in our world Monday through Saturday, if we can have a relationship with Him out in the world, then we don't just come to Mass to attend on Sunday. We come to Mass to have an encounter or an experience. And that is the beauty of our Catholic faith, the sacramental grace that brings heaven to earth and allows us to be transformed through the Eucharist. If we don't have that relationship to know what we're really bringing to Him, then we struggle to figure out what our real purpose is.
Well, and I think that faith in real life, that's what it's all about, you know, living that faith out in mm-hmm. real life, and also reminding us where to recognize Christ in our everyday experiences. You know, Christ is there in all of it, and in the people that we meet, and the people that share their stories with us. And so we have to remember that in those difficult times when, you know, maybe we're struggling with a coworker or a friend or whatever, that Christ is there in that. We just have to open our eyes to see that.
I think Greg has said, somebody said that we have to wear our hearts on our sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Catholics are very good at that.
No, it's a vulnerability that sometimes we aren't taught. And I've loved the preacher Billy Graham, to listen to him, and especially in his later years. He really worked to unify Christians as a whole, and it wasn't about religion. I was just amazed at what he did, and it really was about this vulnerability to share our stories and to let people know that what I say or what I read is also the way that I work to live. And even if I'm not successful, I always say that at least I played the game. And at the end of the day, I can say I went out and gave everything, and maybe I need to do better tomorrow.
You help find hope, but through faith and scriptures. A lot of what you say has to do with scriptures. And I think, again, a lot of when I was a kid, and that was a long time ago, you know, you Catholics went to church for the priest to tell them about the scriptures. They didn't read scriptures mm-hmm. as such. And you say only the scriptures can ignite the fire.
Well, you know, when I first started in ministry, I was just going around giving a testimony as to how God was there in my darkest moments, and He led me back to the church. But as I continued to grow in ministry, I knew that I needed some foundational background to my understanding of the faith. So I attended John Paul the Great University in San Diego, California, and I spent 2 years there studying scriptural Catholic theology. And I just found that love in not only the scripture, but the catechism that it relates to. And that really solidified me in the Catholic faith. And it gives us the foundation to what we need to rely on, even when sometimes humanness might creep into the church and we find struggle in having that hope.
Stay right there, folks. We're going to continue to talk more with Greg and Amy Wasinski. Of course, Greg on Faith and Real Life Moments on SiriusXM, and as well the Let Me Be Ministries. Talk more about that and what people might expect if they come to see you and your message. Stay with us. We're on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski, AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Greg and Amy Wasinski joining us. Let Me Be Ministries. Tell me about Let Me Be Ministries and how did it get rolling and where are you going now?
Yeah, well, thanks for getting the name right because a lot of people say Let It Be Ministries or Let It.
Let It Be Me.
Yeah, they give all these different names. But Let Me Be Ministries really came from a conversion moment that I had at the Abbey of the Genesee in New York when I went on silent retreat. And I wanted to pray for all the things that I thought I needed to be. You know, let me be a good husband. Let me be a good father. Let me be successful. And when I knelt down to pray that night in my first trip there, I could not get past those three words of let me be. Mm-hmm. And I started to begin getting frustrated and a little bit angry that I had driven 5 hours and I couldn't even pray. And that was when God spoke to me. And I heard the internal voice of him saying, I don't want you to be anything other than what I created you to be. Don't try so hard. Stop trying to be what the world is telling you. And so let me be is really the beginning of that sentence to say, just let me be who you created me to be. Mm-hmm. And we founded the ministry based on telling my story of testimony, but now we've developed this relational ministry in which we work with, whether it's a staff organization, whether we're giving a parish mission, or just talking with couples about the need to solidify God as the third part of our marriage. We just try to tell the story of how God is present in everything that we do, like Amy said before, that it's about faith and real life.
Somebody, Amy, described described him as being a guy who has a unique ability to make faith attainable. Mm. You buy that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For me, too. I mean, I love listening to him. And even though I've heard some of the stories over and over again.
100 times.
when he does a mission, I always get something new out of it. I'm like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. That's so easy. Why didn't I think of that? So absolutely. I'm hands down. He makes it very easy to understand.
My spiritual director said that I always try to talk to the guy that I was 15 or 20 years ago, that was away from the church, the guy who really struggled to make the right choices in the business world and stay faithful to God and at the same time try to be successful. And so I feel like I need to grab that guy and say, let me prevent you from the mistakes that I made and let me help you grow and why it's important to attend church with your wife, why it's important to be part of a community that is really there to support you. So, yeah, I try to make it easy for people to understand and easy for them to share.
Dovetailing on that, you tell a story about a leaking tire. That's a vivid picture.
You know, it's so easy to see somebody that is broken. Let's say if they're injured, they might have a cast on their arm or somebody that you know has lost a job. And we rally around them in their brokenness and we try to lift them up. And my theory is that we really need to understand that there are so many people who I would call the slow leak. It's kind of like the tire on your car that's losing a little bit of air every day, but you don't notice it. And it kind of goes from 35 pounds of pressure till, you know, 28. And then it really never runs out of air until you're about 150 miles away from home. And then it goes flat. It's that way that I think life eats at us each and every day. And we need to pay attention to one another and rally in conversation of faith with each other, because every day a little part of us is dying. If we're not going back to the Creator to get restored, if we're not going back to the Creator to let him fix his masterpiece, then what happens is we're just like the slow leak. One day the tire will be flat. And we shouldn't wait till then to notice the people that are broken. Let's reach them before the marriage ends in divorce. Let's reach them before alcohol takes control of their life. Let's get to them before they become a crisis point.
5 tips for moving forward in faith. I have them here. I'm not going to quiz you on them.
Oh, man, don't do that. The Holy Spirit wrote those. I never remember what he writes.
Take inventory about who and what you allow into your life. Expound on that.
Yeah, inventory is important. If we look at the people that we allow to influence us, if we look at what our hobbies are or the television shows that we're watching or the things that really drive us and give us what fuels our body, really, that's what controls our thoughts and That's what pushes us in the direction of how we're going to live. So we have to be very direct with people that maybe are leading us in the wrong path or pushing us away from our faith. When I tell young people, I kind of draw a circle and I say, place people in your life as to how close they lead you to God. If they're good influences, put them in the bullseye. If they're people that draw you away, put them on the outside. I'm not going to judge. We just have to recognize. So that's part of the inventory part.
Another one, Amy, is commit time to those and what you love.
Mm.
You're keeping up the home front as well as assisting the ministry. Expound on that for your role.
That is really true. And that's what I try to do. I love Greg and I love what he's doing with the ministry. And I love helping others. I'm a fixer and a helper. And so I love that hospitality aspect of people and helping them have a good experience. So I would say that that would be very true.
You've covered a couple of them as well. Be part of the community. Don't just attend Mass. We talked about that. And then seek others who will be positive influences, the bullseye. Right. But have a deeper and new relationship with Christ. And that's a tough one because my mind wanders. Yeah. And I'm like this morning I was at Mass. I'm thinking of the shows I have to do today.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And
right.
I should be paying attention maybe a little better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you go about that?
I'll be very honest about this. Amy and I are not great prayers together. It's always been it's kind of a struggle. Let's be real.
It is.
But one of the things that we found is that maybe it's not us praying or reading together or talking about something out loud, but it's holding hands and listening to the Divine Chaplet in song. And it's praying for our kids, the St. Michael prayer. Finding something new and different to say that, you know what, I'm not good at reading scripture, but I'm great at finding devotion in the rosary. But every once in a while, if we get comfortable in our faith, we have to switch up how we talk to God so that we can hear new things. And that's really what that means.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're just about out of time. Let Me Be Ministries, I'm sure there are resources online, but this kind of, I think, sums it up. Every time you live your faith and show excitement about your religion, you have the ability to impact someone else, to open their eyes, you said.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, if we can show them by the way that we live, you know, the old song says they will know we are Christians by our love,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they should know we are Catholics by the way we live, and we should be proud to be that. We should know why we believe what we believe, and if we don't know it, then there are many ways that we can educate ourselves. And I would just like to take 1 second just to say thank you to Libby Peterson, who has been with our ministry. She's my event coordinator and has worked with us for 10 years.
And our right arm.
Yeah, so she's been
for both of us.
She's been integral in the ministry, and that is what allowed Amy and I to work together when we do. So whether she's had to babysit the children or whether she's had to travel, she's done it all. So we're grateful for her help with the ministry as well.
SiriusXM Radio, you have a website?
Yeah, if you go to faithandreallife.com, all of our resources are up there for free, the books that I've written. Come be part of the conversation, be part of the faith community. And we actually do a morning show on Facebook every morning in the Faith and Real Life community, and it's called Coffee and Conversation. So feel free to join us at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Amy, Greg, thanks for joining us. This is God Calling. We hope all of you listening will join us each and every week at this same time. This is Paul Orlowski. Have a great week.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.